It's June the 6th, and we are in Parashas Matos on page 906. And we are beginning with Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25 in Perek Lamed Aleph in chapter 31. We just finished the description of the battle with Midian, and then we talked last week about some of the repercussions of the battle. Particularly, we spoke about the laws of kashrus and also of toiveling that came out from this battle because they brought back non-kosher utensils that had been owned by non-Jews. So therefore, we learned those rules from this conquest. But now we get into some other repercussions from this battle, which has to do with the spoils of war and how they should be divided up. So the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe." Lemar Hashem said to Moshe, saying, "Sa es rosh malkoach hashivi." Count all of the spoils of the captured, both the people, the animals, ba'adamu ba'behema, with the animals and the people. Atav Elazar a coin, v'roshe avo soido. You and Elazar the coin, and the heads of the nation, that you should count all of the main spoils of war. Now, they're not counting every single thing they captured, but they will be counting the people and the animals. That's what they'll be counting. V'chatzisa samalkoach, you should divide up the booty, bein tovsei hamilchama hayotzim latzava, between those who captured it in the war, who went out to battle, meaning the actual soldiers, uvein kol ha'ida, and between the rest of the congregation. So you're going to essentially split it in half. Half of the people are going to now be slaves. So half of the people and half of the animals will go to the soldiers, and the other half will go to the rest of the congregation. Now, if you'll recall, there weren't that many soldiers. There were only 1,000 per tribe. There were only 12,000 soldiers. And there were over 600,000 people, men between 20 and 60. So clearly the soldiers are getting a disproportionate amount of the booty. But we're not done yet. It's not only that you're going to divide it up and give half to the soldiers and half to everybody else. But then they, in turn, are each going to have to give some of the booty as a, you can either call it a tax, or you can call it a tzedakah. Well, we'll see. V'haremosam meches l'Hashem. You should remove or separate a tax to Hashem. Me'es anshei hamilchama hayotzim latzava, from the people of the war who went out to battle, echad nefesh mechamesh hameos, one soul out of 500. In other words, 1/500th of the each of the categories of the spoils of war. We're going to have four different categories. Each one of them, 1/500th should be removed as a tax. Min ha'adam, umin ha'bakar, umin ha'chamorim, umin ha'tzon. From the four categories. From the people, from the cattle, from the donkeys, and from the sheep. That, from all of those, you should take off 1/500th of each. And what do you do with those, with that 1/500th? Mimachatzi sam tikachu, from their half, from the half that's going to the soldiers, the tax you're going to remove from their half, you should take it. V'nasatol Elazar Kohen, you should give it to Elazar the Kohen. Trumas Hashem. It's a truma from Hashem, or to Hashem. So, just as when we harvest grain, we give a truma. So here too, we're going to give a truma. This truma is going to be 1/500th. 1/500th is very little. If we use a grain comparison, the amount that the Gemara says we should give in grain, even though the Torah does not say how much. But the Gemara says one should give no less than 1/60th and no more than 1/40th. So here, 1/500th is far less than what is typically given as truma from grain. So that's the amount that should be taken from the portion that went to the soldiers and given as a truma to Hashem to Elazar the Kohen. Now this is a little bit confusing because who's getting this truma? Truma of grain goes to the Kohen and the Kohen keeps it. It does not go to the Beis HaMikdash. It goes to the Kohen. The Kohen eats it. What about here where you have the POWs, the slaves, then you have the donkeys and the sheep and the cattle? Does it go to Hashem or does it go to the Kohanim? It's a little bit confusing. U'machatzis b'nei Yisrael, and from the half that goes to the rest of the Jewish people, tikach echad achuz min hachamishim, you should take a percentage of 1/50th, 2%. 1/50th min ha'adam, min ha'bakar, min ha'chamorim, u'min ha'tzon. From the people, from the cattle, from the donkeys, and from the sheep. Mikol ha'behemah, from all the animals. You should take 1/50th. That's a lot more than you're taking from the half that went to the soldiers. V'nasato usam la'leviim, that tax should be given to the Leviim, Shomrei Mishmeres Mishkan Hashem, that their job is to protect the Mishkan of Hashem. Vayas Moshe ve'Elazar HaKohen kasher tziv Hashem es Moshe, and Moshe and Elazar the Kohen did as Hashem commanded Moshe. We're going to pause here for a minute and try to focus on what exactly was said, and then we're going to read a whole series of psukim about what actually happened. And we're going to see an insight in what the Torah chooses to emphasize and what the Torah chooses not to emphasize or even not to mention. So first let's understand what exactly happened over here. You have spoils of war. These spoils include people who are now slaves. You have sheep, cattle, and you have donkeys. There are other spoils of war. There's gold, there's silver, there's clothing. None of that is being included in this discussion. That will come up later, but not now. So it's only living creatures that are being discussed, animals and people. Let's recall that most of the people were killed. Even the captives who were brought back were also killed. The only ones that remained were the girls who were too young to be able to have a relationship with a man. So that's it. So we're not talking about that many people. We'll see how many soon. And you have sheep, and you have cattle, and you have donkeys. So the Torah says, the first thing you do is count them, then split them in half. Half go to the soldiers, half go to the rest of the country, the rest of the people. As we mentioned already, that means the soldiers are getting a disproportionate amount. There's only 12,000 soldiers. There's over 600,000 everybody else. So they're getting far more than per person than the 600,000, the rest of the people. That means retroactively being a soldier was very lucrative. Now, they didn't necessarily know it was going to be very lucrative, but it turns out it was very lucrative. But then, not only that, not only do they end up, the soldiers, end up with far more than everybody else per person, because you're talking about dividing the spoils by 12,000 rather than dividing the spoils by 600,000. So you've got far more going to the soldiers per person than anybody else. But then the tax that the Torah imposes on the spoils of war, the soldiers only have to give 1/500th, whereas the rest of the people have to give 1/50th. So we have a 10 times difference, a difference of 10 times between how much tax is being paid by the rest of the people and how much is being paid by the soldiers. So not only do the soldiers per person get far more spoils than anybody else, they only have to give up 1/10 in taxes compared to what everybody else has to give up. So again, it's in their favor. Everything's in their favor. They end up with a lot more from the spoils of war than the people who did not fight. There's also a difference in where the taxes go. The taxes from the people is pretty straightforward. Give it to the Levian. We know that with grain, there's also an amount we have to give to the Levian. That's called Miser, or Miser Rishon, is given to the Levian. So here as well, there's an amount that has to be given to the Levian. 1/50th of the spoils of war that went to the rest of the country. Now that's different than Miser. Miser is 1/10. The word Miser comes from the word Eser, which means 10. 1/10. Here it's only 1/50th. So it's not as much as, by percentage, it's not as much as is given in Miser to the Levi. But it's still a hefty amount. It's 2% of the total spoils of war. Whereas the half that went to the soldiers, their percentage that they have to give, which as we mentioned is only 1/500th, that goes to, as we said, it was a little confusing, to Elazar the Kohen, a truma to Hashem. So is it going to Elazar, or is it going to Hashem? Which one is it? And Chazal explained to us, it ultimately goes to Elazar. However, it is not given to Elazar. The tax is given to Hashem. How do you give a tax to Hashem? You give it to the Beis HaMikdash, or in this case, the Mishkan. So the tax was given to the Mishkan or to the Beis HaMikdash, and then Hashem says, I am going to appropriate that tax to the Kohanim. It's a two-step process. We don't give it directly to the Kohanim, or I should say the soldiers didn't give it directly to the Kohanim. The soldiers gave it to Hashem, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, and then Hashem says, I, in turn, am going to turn around and give it to the Kohanim. Whereas the tax that was taken from the people, from the rest of the country, that went directly to the Levium, not through an intermediary of the Mishkan, rather went straight to the Levium. So we see several differences over here, and of course we're going to endeavor to explain these differences. We'll try our best to do that, why you have these differences. Before we even attempt to do that, let's first go back and think about this for a minute. If in the end it was a lucrative thing to be a soldier, but they didn't know it at the time, how did you become a soldier? What made you into a soldier? Who decided who would be the soldiers? So we learned earlier that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take 1,000 from each of the tribes did not want to comply. Why? Because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, after this, you will die. So the people did not want to fulfill this task because they knew that after this, Moshe Rabbeinu would die. They didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to die. Therefore, they dragged their feet. And the soldiers themselves did not want to go on this mission. Not because they were scared of a war, not because they didn't trust in Hashem, as we will see soon, these soldiers were great tzaddikim, but rather the reason they didn't want to go is because they didn't want to lose Moshe Rabbeinu. And they needed to be forced to go to war. So these soldiers reluctantly went to war. They were wildly successful, despite the fact that there were only 12,000 of them against what has to be, if not millions of enemy, but at least hundreds of thousands. And they reluctantly went to war, and they won the war in a spectacular way, as we will see. These soldiers are part of the 600,000, the men who were counted from 20 to 60, both in Parshas Bamidbar and in Parshas Pinchas. They are Kol Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael. They are the army. That's the standing army of the Jewish people. Hashem did not want the entire army to go to war over here. He only wanted 12,000 to go to war. Therefore, the 1,000 from each tribe that were picked would have been the top soldiers. They would have been, for example, let's say from the tribe of, let's take the tribe of Yisachar. I believe Yisachar had 60,500, if I remember correctly, in Parshas Pinchas. So this 1,000 that were given would have been the best 1,000 of that 60,500. That's who would have been included in this battle. How do you determine the best soldiers? Are they the ones who wield the sword the best? Are they the ones who shoot arrows the best marksmen? What determines the 1,000 specifically from each tribe? And as we will soon see, these soldiers were great tzaddikim. And therefore, at least one criterion was how righteous they were. Especially since we know that one of the reasons why a soldier goes home and does not fight in the war is Mihaish Hayare Verach Halevav, someone who's afraid. We're going to learn this later on in Parashas Shoftim. What is he afraid of? The Gemara tells us, Me'averos Shebiyado. He's afraid of his sins, that he will not merit to be protected. We will see later that the Jewish army did not lose even one soldier in this battle. Every single soldier came home unscathed. Every single one of the 12,000 came home unscathed, which is remarkable. If they all came home unscathed, we have to therefore surmise that these soldiers were great tzaddikim, because one of the reasons why a soldier would not fight was because they were afraid to, because they had sinned, and they were afraid that their sins would prevent them from being protected in the war. Well, if we are only choosing 1,000 from each tribe, think about it, if you're one of the leaders of the tribe and you need to pick 1,000 out of your 50,000 soldiers, and you know, as the Jews knew, that sin was something that could cause a soldier to be killed in battle, you're going to pick not only the ones who are the most skilled in physical battle, physical fighting, which of course is important, but you're also going to put great emphasis on the soldier's righteousness. And these 12,000 were of the most righteous of the soldiers. I'm not saying that they were not also skilled in battle, I imagine they were, but you're also going to be looking for tzidkus, for righteousness. And so, the soldiers who went to war certainly did not go to war to enrich themselves. We see this, first of all, because they didn't want to go in the first place. They didn't want to go because they didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to die. And second of all, one of the criterion that was used to choose them was their righteousness. Someone who is money hungry, it's difficult to stay perfectly righteous when a person is money hungry. And therefore, certainly it was not the primary motivation of these soldiers to become wealthy. But Hashem determined that they would in fact become wealthy, that this battle would make them wealthy. And they became wealthy. They now emerge from this battle very wealthy, because they are now the they've gotten half the spoils and given up very little in taxes. So that's the way Hashem chose to set it up. Now, we're going to put that on hold for a minute. And we're going to go further and understand what actually happened over here. Now, what I want us to pay attention to is the specific, what the Torah now is going to specify during this actual division of the spoils and the taxes. So, Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32. Now we're going to have some psukim that appear to be redundant. Of course they're not. So we're going to have to understand that as well. Vahi HaMalkoach, and it was the captives. Yes HaBuz, Asher Buzazu Amatzava, the spoils that were captured by the, that went to the soldiers, or the, I'm sorry, that they captured. How much was it of the four categories? Sheep, cattle, donkeys, and people. Son, Sheish Meos Elef, Veshiv Melef, Vachamesis Alefim. How much sheep? 675,000. That's how much. Uvakar, how much cattle? Shnayim Veshivim Elef, 72,000. Vachamorim, donkeys, Echad Veshishim Elef, 61,000. V'nefesh Adam, how many people? Now the Torah here tells us, Min Anashim Asher Lo Yodu Mishkav Zachar, from the women who were too young to have had an intimate relationship with a man. Kol Nefesh, how much was it? Shnayim Ushloshim Alef, 32,000. So there we have it. 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 people. So now we're going to divide that in half. Half are going to go to the soldiers, and the other half is going to go to everybody else. Vatihi amechetza, and the division was, chelek hayotzim batzava, the portion that went to the soldiers, mispar hatzon, how much was the sheep? Well, we divide 675,000 in half, and you get, shlosh meos elef, ushloshim elef, v'shivas alafim v'chamesh meos. 337,500. 337,500, that's how much went to the soldiers. Now, if you want to know how much went to each soldier, divide that number in turn by 12,000. So they each ended up with quite a significant amount of sheep. So 337,500, that's how much sheep there was that went to the soldiers. Now the Torah now tells us, and let's do the division even further. How much of that was a tax? 1/500th of 337,500. 1/500th of that was given to the Mishkan, which then went to the Kohanim. Vayhi amechas laHashem min hatzon. So the tax to Hashem from the sheep, 1/500th of 337,500 is Sheish Meos Chamesh Veshivim, 675. 675 sheep were given to Hashem, which then went to the Kohanim. The Habakar and the cattle, how much was half the cattle? There had been 72,000, so half of that is Shisha Ushloshim Aleph, 36,000. That's how much cattle went to the 12,000 soldiers. They each got three heads of cattle. And how much of that went to the Mishkan, which went to the Kohanim? 1/500th of 32,000. Of 36,000. Which is, Umichsam LaHashem, their tax to Hashem was, Shnayim V'Shivim 72. 72 cattle were given to the Kohanim. V'Chamorim, how many donkeys? There were 61,000 donkeys, so half of that is Shloshim Elef HaChamesh Meos, 30,500. And how much of that goes to the Mishkan, to the Kohanim? 1/500th of 30,500. Umichsam LaHashem, their tax to Hashem, Echad V'Shishim, 61 donkeys. V'Nefesh Adam, and the people, there were 32,000 slaves, So half of that is Shisha, so Aleph, 16,000. Umichsam la Hashem, and their tax to Hashem, 1/500th of 16,000 is Shnaim Ushloshim Nafesh, 32 souls. That is the amount that went to Hashem. Vayitein Moshe's meches trumas Hashem le'Elazar HaKohen. Then Moshe gave the tax that went to Hashem to Elazar the Kohen, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, just as Hashem had commanded Moshe. So the Torah spells out for us how much is half of each of these numbers, and then how much is 1/500th of that half to tell us how much goes to the Mishkan, which then goes to the Kohanim. Umilachatzis b'nei Yisrael, asher chatzah Moshe, and from the half that went to the rest of the Jews that Moshe divided, mino anashim atzovim, from the people that had gone into the battle. So how much then went to B'nai Yisrael? Now, if we're going to have a mirror image of what we just said, then the Torah should now spell out half of 675,000 is 337,500. And then it should say, how much is 1/50th of that? 1/50th of that is 6,750. Then the Torah should say how much cattle there were. Well, half of 72,000 is 36,000. That's how much went to B'nai Yisrael. And how much is 1/50th of that? 720. The Torah should do the same thing it just did, but it doesn't. Look what happens next. V'atihi mechetzas ha'ida min hatzon. So what was the half that of the sheep that went to the rest of the people? Shlosh meos elef, u'shloshim elef, v'shivas alafim v'chamesh meos. 337,500, which is half of 675,000. That's fine, but the Torah stops there. Uvakar, what's half of 72,000 that went to the rest of the people? Shishon shloshim alef, 36,000. V'chamorim, and donkeys, what's half of 61,000? Shloshim elef v'chamesh meos, 30,500. V'nefesh Adam, and the people, what's half of 32,000? Shisha Asar Aleph, 16,000. But the Torah does not give us the numbers of what's 1/50th of each of those numbers. The Torah just says, Pasuk Mem Zayin, verse 47, Vayikach Moshe mimachatzis b'nei Yisrael, and Moshe took from the half that went to the Jews, the rest of the Jews, Es ha'achuz echad minachamishim, he took 1/50th of as the percentage of 1/50th, mina adam u'mina behema, from the people and from the animals. Vayiteno osam la'levim, he gave it to the levim. Shomrei mishmeres mishkan Hashem, the ones who were guarding, the guarding of the mishkan of Hashem, kashit tziv Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. So the Torah does not spell out for us the numbers of the tax. So again, when we're dealing with the half that go to the soldiers there, the Torah spells out what their number was, their half, and what is 1/500th of each of those numbers, which goes to the Mishkan, which then goes to the Kohanim. Here, when it comes to the half of the rest of the Jewish people, it tells us what the half is, but it does not tell us the number of what is 1/50th of that half to go to the Levium. So, obviously, that begs the question, why the difference? Now, the Netziv, Rav Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, writes that the reason why the soldiers' tax went to the Mishkan and ultimately to the Kohanim, whereas the rest of the people, their tax went to the Levium, says the Netziv, because we know that the Kohanim and the Mishkan represent Avoda. Avoda is service. Today, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, and we don't have the service of the Karbanos. However, we do something in place of the Karbanos. You all know what that is, and that is davening. We daven Shacharis, which corresponds to the Tamid, the morning Tamid. We daven Mincha, which corresponds to the afternoon Tamid. And we daven Mairiv, which corresponds to the burning of the fats and the limbs. We learn this in Parshas Pinchas. So we know that davening and avoda go together. Says the Netziv, someone who is in battle is in acute need of davening. Davening is critically important for someone who is currently in battle. Someone who is fighting a battle, davening is absolutely necessary. The problem is that while you're fighting, it's hard to daven. You can daven before you fight. You can thank Hashem after you fight. When you are in the heat of battle, it's difficult to be davening. After all, you need to be concentrating on what you're doing. You have to be holding your sword and dealing with your shield and dealing with your bow and arrow and making sure that everything is tactically and strategically is going the way it should. And it's very difficult to be davening while you fight. You have to be concentrating on the fight itself. But davening is critical. Therefore, says the Netziv, the soldiers needed those who were the daveners to daven for them. Who are the daveners of the Bnei Yisrael? The daveners are the Kohanim. Because the Kohanim do the Avoda, and the davening is after all in place of the Avoda. Therefore, they needed the Kohanim to be, so to speak, pulling for them, so that they would win the war, and they would be successful. Therefore, their tax goes to the Kohanim. But again, says the Netziv, what about the people who stayed at home and did not fight? They did not actually fight. They didn't go to battle. So that means they were protected without fighting. Someone else fought for them. They didn't actually fight. What protects the Jewish people overall? Meaning that what prevents us from having to fight? What is the thing that allows us to sleep peacefully at night? And that is the learning of Torah. Limud HaTorah, the learning of Torah, protects the Jewish people. That creates a protection, a protective shield for the Jewish people, so that fighting isn't necessary, that they are just naturally protected. So who does the Torah study? So we know that there are always individuals who study Torah, but the tribe that is entrusted with the specific task of studying Torah are the Levim. The Levim are the ones who represent the study of Torah, and they're the ones who are entrusted with that task. We know that the Rambam writes that today, where we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we're not in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't even know what tribe most of us are from, he writes, someone who dedicates his life to learning Torah, he is essentially acting like a Levi. That's what the Rambam writes. He's deciding to live a life of a Levi when he is learning Torah full time. So says the Netziv, the rest of the Jewish people, their tax goes to the Levim, because the rest of the Jewish people did not have to fight. They stayed home and the fighting was done for them. And that which protects the Jews and prevents them from needing to fight, that is the study of Torah. So that may explain why the tax of the soldiers goes to the Kohanim and the tax of the rest of the people goes to the Levim. But what we still don't understand is why the Torah has to spell out the numbers of the tax for the soldiers. It tells us what 1/500th is, but it does not spell out the numbers of the tax for the rest of the people. Now, I've shared with you before the discussion I once had with my Rosh Yeshiva, with Rav Weinberg, Zichron Levracha, of the Torah and its mathematical equations. And without going through that story again, he explained that when the Torah writes a mathematical equation that we could have figured out on our own, the Torah doesn't have to tell us what is half of 675,000. We know half of 675,000 is 337,500. The Torah doesn't even have to tell us what 1/500th of 337,500 is. Even if you'll tell me it's not so easy to make that calculation, but one can do it. And we can use our brains to know that that number is 675. So why would the Torah have to spell out an equation, a calculation, that we can do on our own? So the Rosh Yeshiva explained that when the Torah does that, the Torah is saying to us that you have to understand that the number 675,000, that's the total number, that's important. The number 337,500, which is the half that went to the soldiers, and the same amount is the half that went to the rest of the people, that's also a significant thing. You should understand these numbers are significant in and of themselves. And the fact that 1/500th of 337,500 is 675, that's significant. These are all significant. By its omission, we would say, the fact that 1/50th of 337,500 is 6,750, from the fact that that's not mentioned in the Torah, we would therefore conclude that that is insignificant. It's not that we don't know the number, we know the number. And if we don't know it in our heads, we'll use a calculator. But we know the number. But knowing the number is not the point. Emphasizing the number is the point. The Torah emphasizes what the number of the tax of the soldiers was. It does not emphasize to us the number of the tax of the rest of the people. And why is this? And that also will go back to the question we asked before of why the soldiers have to give so little compared to what they got, especially since they got each person got far more than the rest of the people. There may be several answers to this question. I'm going to suggest one. And that is that at the end of the day, who did the work? Who fought for this money, for this booty? Not that they went to war in order to get it, but at the end of the day, who put in the work? The soldiers put in the work. Who put their necks on the line? Who stuck their necks out? The soldiers did. The rest of the people did not. And when you work for something, it's more meaningful to you. When you're given something as a gift, it is not as meaningful. We know this to be true. Somebody who works hard to make money, that wealth, is more precious than someone who wins a lottery. When someone wins a lottery, they get it so easily, they didn't work for it, and they often squander it. Someone who works hard for their money, then that money is more precious. They're more careful with that money. That is generally the case. The soldiers, even though they did not go to war in order to become wealthy, the fact of the matter is, when they came home from the war, they worked for it. It meant something. Since it meant something, giving up part of it was important and significant. The fact that they were able to part with the money, that was much more meaningful than the rest of the people parting with their money. Because the rest of the people didn't work for it. And therefore, parting with their money, it's not that it's nothing, but it is not as significant as the soldiers who worked for it. Therefore, the Torah tells us, the soldiers came home with, let's use a different number this time, just so we can mix it up a little bit. They came home with 72,000 heads of cattle. Wow, that's a lot of cattle. And they fought for it. There were 12,000 soldiers. That should come out to 6 heads of cattle per soldier. But no, the Torah says, Hashem said, you soldiers can only keep half. The other half goes to the rest of the people. And the soldiers willingly gave up half. 36,000 they kept, 36,000 went to the rest of the people. That is a feather in the cap of the soldiers, that they were happy and willing to do the mitzvah of giving up half, 36,000. But even more than that, of their own 36,000, they're told, give up 1/500th of that. And even that, they were willing to do. They took 1/500th of 36,000, which is 72, and they gave that up. And they gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. We know that the rest of the people also gave up from their portion of 36,000. In fact, they gave up more. They gave up 720 to the Levim. But the Torah doesn't spell that out, because the 720 that was given up by the people was not as significant and took less effort than the 72 that was given up by the soldiers. The soldiers giving up, what, even though they gave up less, by a factor of 10, they gave up less, still it was more significant, more difficult, a greater mitzvah than what the rest of the people gave up, because they worked for it. And here the Torah is telling us that Hashem says, I know that when you work and you make money, and I tell you to give tzedakah, I know it's hard. You worked for it. It's difficult. And Hashem says the following. When you work and you make money, and then you give some of that up because it's a mitzvah, I notice. I'm writing it down. I'm taking notes. I'm making a record of it, because it's precious. Because you did something, you gave up something that you worked for. And that's important, that's significant. Just as over here, the soldiers, what they gave up is being recorded forever in the Torah, says Hashem, when you give up, it is recorded upstairs forever. It's not that someone who didn't work for it and gave tzedakah, that's not recorded. It is recorded, but it is not recorded with as much significance as the one who worked for it. And when you give up after you work for it, that's really special. And that's being emphasized in the Torah over here. They had to give up less, but it meant more. That's the point the Torah seems to be making with the recording of these numbers. But we're not done with what the soldiers were willing to do. And let us continue now in Pasuk Mem Ches, verse 48. And what the next part of it is perhaps even more remarkable. Vayikrevu al Moshe. And they came close to Moshe. Hapikudim asher le'afei atzava. The appointed ones who were in charge of the thousands who went to war. Sarei ha'alafim v'sarei ha'meos. The officers of thousands and the officers of hundreds. We know that the Jewish people were divided up into battalions of 10 and 50 and 100 and 1,000. And the heads of thousands, which I presume there were 12, because there were 12,000 soldiers. And the heads of hundreds, which I presume there were 120, since again there were 12,000 soldiers. They came before Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said as follows. Vayomur al Moshe, they said to Moshe, Avodecha nasuis rosh anshei hamilchama shebiyadeinu, your servants, meaning us, we counted the heads of the soldiers who were entrusted into our hands, v'lo nifkad mimenu ish, and there was no one missing. Every single person came home safely. Therefore, vanakrev es karban Hashem, we have brought a karban to Hashem. What is the carbon? Ish asher matza kli zahav. The carbon is not animals. It's going to be a gift of money. Any man who found a golden utensil, etz ada vitzamid, a bracelet and an ankle bracelet, tabas, a ring, a gil, which is a nose ring, v'chumaz, chumaz is also a gold piece of jewelry. This gold piece of jewelry was used by, in those days, and it was put, a woman wore that piece of jewelry, and it would be worn in, at the genitalia. It was something which was meant to be a piece of jewelry that was used or that was displayed at a time of intimacy. That's what a chumaz is. L'chaper al nafshosenu lifnei Hashem, in order to atone for our souls before Hashem. We are giving all the gold jewelry that we have brought back and we are presenting it, all of it, as a gift to Hashem. Vayikach Moshe ve'Elazar ha-Kohen, and Moshe and Elazar the Kohen took, as Hazahav, the gold me'itam from them, kol klimasa, all of these utensils. How much was it? Vayehi kol zahava truma, and it was all of the golden truma, the golden gift, asher hirimu la-Hashem, that they separated from Hashem, shisha asar elef shvame'os v'chamishim, 16,750 shekel, that was the amount, 16,750 shekel, from the officers of thousands and from the officers of hundreds. That's how much gold they had, and that's what they gave. The officers gave up the gold, 16,750 shekel of gold. Each man of the war took their own spoils, they got the spoils of war. Vayikach Moshe ve'Elazar ha-Kohen es ha-Zahav, but Moshe and Elazar the Kohen took the gold, me'es sareha alafim v'hameos, from the officers of thousands and hundreds. Vayaviu oso el olamoid, they brought it to the Mishkan, zikaron livnei Yisrael, livnei Hashem, as a remembrance for the Bnei Yisrael before Hashem. So the rest of the gold, the gold that was captured by the rest of the soldiers, that they kept. But the gold that was captured by the heads of the thousands and the heads of the hundreds, 16,750 shekel, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu for the Mishkan. It was brought to the Mishkan as a remembrance for the Jewish people. What does that mean, a remembrance for the Jewish people? A remembrance for what? And how was it remembered? I would like you to please hold the place and turn back to Parshas Korach, which is this coming week's parsha. I'm going to ask maybe Mrs. Kaiser, if when I tell you where it is, if you could unmute yourself and give us the page number in the Stone Chumash. We're going to go to Parshas Korach, and let me give you the address. We're going to go to Perek. Hold on. Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. Verse 4, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Okay, page 828. So let's hold the place where we are and turn back to 828. Chapter 17, verse 4, Parak Yazayim, Pasuk Dalet. After the incident with Korach and the 250 men, Korach, of course, was swallowed by the ground, as were Dathan and Aviram, but the 250 men were burned. A fire came down from heaven and burned them. They each had fire pans. These fire pans were used for ketores. These fire pans were made of gold. What happened to those fire pans? So, actually, I'm going to go back one pasuk. We'll go back one verse to Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Maybe we'll even go back to the beginning of the chapter. Let's do it that way. Let's get the whole picture over here. Let's go back to Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, lemar Hashem said to Moshe, Emor el Elazar ben Aaron ha-Kohen, say to Elazar, the son of Aaron the Kohen, V'yareim es ha-machtos mi-ben ha-srefa, he should separate the fire pans from the fire that just took place. V'es ha-ish zerei hala, the fire that's in the pans, meaning the coals, the burning coals, he should throw away. Ki kadeshu, because these fire pans have become sanctified. They were used in the service of Hashem, even though they shouldn't have done it, but it was service of Hashem, therefore they're sanctified. Eis machtos ha-chatoim o'ele ben afshosam, these fire pans of the people who sinned to Hashem with their souls, they were killed. What should happen to these fire pans? They should be made as a plating around the altar. Because they were brought before Hashem, and they were made sanctified. They will now be a sign for the Jewish people. I'm sorry, it was not gold. It was copper. Excuse me. So Elazar took the copper the copper fire pans. Asher Krivlas Rufin that were brought by those who were burned up. Vayirak Tzipoy LaMizbeach, and he plated them around the Mizbeach, around the altar. Zikaron Livnei Yisrael, a remembrance for the Jewish people. They'll see this copper plating on the altar and they will remember. What will they remember? Liman Asher Lo Yikrav Ish Zar, so that no foreign man will come close. Ashalom Yizera Aaron, who that is not from the seed of Aaron, Laktir Ketores Lifnei Hashem, to bring, to offer incense before Hashem. It's only the Kohanim, not anybody else. V'lo yeche Korach v'chadaso, there should no longer be anybody like Korach, nor like his congregation. Kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe lo, like Hashem spoke to Moshe. So this plating of these, of this copper, these copper fire pans, would now be a remembrance to the Jewish people. Remember what happened. Remember what happened with Korach. Don't anybody else get that idea in their heads to rebel against Hashem and to try to usurp the kahuna. So now let's turn back to our case as well. Here, the heads of thousands and the heads of hundreds brought all the gold jewelry to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it tells us in Pasuk, they brought it as an atonement. And it tells us in Pasuk Nadal, verse 54, Moshe and Elazar took it, took the gold, and they brought it to the Mishkan, Zikaron Livnei Yisrael, a remembrance for the Jewish people, Livnei Hashem, before Hashem. Very similar to what happened with the fire pans. This is going to be a remembrance. Now, I don't know what they did with the gold. I don't know if they used it to plate the Mizbeach as well. I don't know how they displayed it. But you can be sure it was displayed in a manner that would be remembered. What would the people remember? With the case of Korach, they were going to remember what happened with Korach. What are they going to remember here? And so it seems what they're going to remember is the battle with Midian. What are they going to remember about the battle with Midian? Well, the point that the officers are bringing out is no one died. So they're going to remember the great miracle that no one died. But it goes deeper than that. What is being used as a gift to Hashem? The jewelry, the gold that the women wore. Why was there a battle of Midian? There was a battle with Midian because the Midian people were willing to have their daughters act in a promiscuous manner in order to make the Jewish men sin, in order there be a plague against the Jewish people. That was the reason, as we've talked about before the past 2 weeks, that these, the Midian people are remembered as being horrific people, that they deliberately made others sin, tried to get others to sin, which means they deliberately tried to get others and successfully got others to rebel against Hashem. A terrible, despicable act. And the Jews unfortunately sinned. The jewelry was used to get the Jewish men to sin. Jewelry makes a woman beautiful, and as the Midian girls were trying to entice the Jewish men, jewelry was a significant part of that act. And now, that jewelry was captured in war. By all rights, it's now owned as spoils of war. And they can do with it as they please. The heads of the battle come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, we counted and everybody came back alive. Wow, everybody came back alive. How could that be? After all, we had just sinned. The people had sinned with the daughters of Midian. We didn't expect to come back with everybody alive. We expected there to be casualties because at the end of the day, we sinned. Not we personally sinned. If we personally sinned, then we wouldn't have gone to war because we'd be afraid to. We're not from the men who sinned, but we Jews sinned, and therefore we didn't expect to come back with no casualties. But we did come back with no casualties. It appears that Hashem is sending us a message that we are forgiven for that terrible act that we did. We Jews are forgiven. Hashem is forgiving us. And therefore, we are going to take this gold as an atonement, as part of that atonement. And we're going to say, as was mentioned, as was said by Rachav, which was mentioned in the Haftorah this past week, Be'elu chatasi, be'elu timchali. With these I sinned, with these forgive me. We are going to take that which was integral to the sin, and we're going to give it as a gift to the Mishkan. It's a lot of money. 16,750 shkalim of gold. That's a lot of money. And they gave it up. And they said, these things caused the sin. And therefore, we are giving it as a gift to the Mishkan. Because we want to do a mitzvah with the objects that were used to cause sin. We're going to atone for that sin. It seems from the presentation of the Torah that had there been casualties in the war, they would not have presented this gift. It is because they are seeing that Hashem is forgiving them, and they are saying, if Hashem is forgiving us, then we need to show not just gratitude, but we need to show that we have turned this sin on its head. It was a terrible sin that we Jews did. But now we are going to turn a mitzvah. We're going to turn those objects into a mitzvah. And they gave these objects, which are typically used not typically used, but it was used in this case for sin. They are typically used for Yetzer Hara, which is not always a bad thing, but in this context, it was a bad thing. And we're going to give it as a gift to the Mishkan and as an atonement for us. And that gold was displayed. I imagine it was melted down, but then it was either put on the altar or it was somehow displayed in the Mishkan. Then anybody would come, they would see, look at that gold. Remember what happened. We sinned. We were punished. Many of us were killed. But then Hashem told us, fight the war, and He forgave us. And everybody came back alive. And that which was used for this sin was given as a gift to the Mishkan. Teshuva is powerful. Teshuva can turn things around completely. That's the message. When you see this gold in the Mishkan, you say, wow, look at that. It was a terrible sin, but everybody came back alive from the battle. Hashem forgave us. Hashem gave us a path for Teshuva. He opened up the door of Teshuva for us. And we were able to access it. And then we gave the gold to complete the kapara, to complete the atonement, to take the objects that were used for sin and use them for a mitzvah. That is the message that is being projected over here to the Jewish people that they will see when they go to visit the Mishkan. A powerful, powerful message about sin and about tshuva and about correcting the wrong and using that which was used for evil to use it for good. That is the ultimate message over here of that goal that was given. We'll stop here, and Amir Sashem, continue next week.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.